The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
My name is Phil Manis. I will be the worship leader this morning. I would like to welcome everyone joining us this morning, whether in person or online. Whoever you are, wherever you may be on your spiritual journey, however you identify or express your gender, whomever you love, whoever loves you, come walk with us this morning. On behalf of our fellowship, I extend a special welcome to anyone joining us for the first or second time. If you're not already connected with us, we invite you to fill out the visitor's card. If you're joining us online, you'll find the link for the card in the Zoom chat box. If you're here with us in person, you can get a copy from my greeter, who is Preston, I believe, out there today. Filling out the visitor's card will help keep you abreast of worship services, programs, and activities at the Thomas Paine Fellowship. Okay, all that said. The title of our service this morning is Blessings of Pride. With all the recent negative developments regarding the queer community and especially the war on the transgender community, it's difficult to keep in mind that there are and have been blessings. For instance, 17 years ago, in the summer of 2005, the board of Thomas Paine instituted the process to become a welcoming congregation. 2 years later, after completing the requirements, we were proud to proclaim that we had achieved the status as recognized by the UUA. As a congregation for over a decade, we have engaged in pride parades and events. Participation in the Philadelphia AIDS Walk became an annual part of this congregation's outreach. As part of Pride in 2015, we celebrated the Supreme Court decision on marriage equality. Perhaps some of you might remember that outrageous wedding cake. Maybe not. It was one side white and the other side black. Okay. 2 years ago, Dr. Rachel Levine, Pennsylvania's transgender head of the Department of Health, spoke at our Pride service. She was subsequently confirmed by the U.S. Senate and became the Assistant Secretary of Health and the first transgender person confirmed to a federal post. Last year, Pete Buttigieg was confirmed by a Senate vote of 86-13 as Secretary of Transportation, making him the first openly gay cabinet member in history. This morning, our guest speakers will discuss their organization's role in today's environment. Okay, we light the chalice this morning with words by Andrea Hawkins Kempner. Blessed are we who gather with open hearts together in this space today. Blessed are we, the chalice lighters of resistance, justice, love, and faith. Blessed are we, the heretics, the outcasts, the walkers of our own way. Blessed are we, the border crossers, the refugees, the immigrants, the poor, the wanderers who are not lost. Blessed are we, the transgressors, the trespassers, the passerbys, the cause takers, the defiant, and the compliant. Blessed are we, the hand extenders, the sign makers, the protesters, the protectors. Blessed are we, the trans woman, the trans man, the non-binary, the cisgender, the multigender, the no gender. Blessed are we, the friend, the stranger, the lonely, the hidden, the visible, the authentic. Blessed are we who rise in solidarity. Blessed are we who cannot. Blessed are those who do not. Blessed are we, for this is our beloved community, and this is who we are. As I light our peace lamp, please respond with a lower line and finish. May peace be with you. Okay, I think we'll have our gathering song now. Here We Have Gathered, written by Lisa S. Carpenter, performed by the Unitarian Society of Santa Barbara. Hopefully, there'll be words up there. For All Ages is a little bit different. It's going to be a video. I know you all know this song. We are gentle, angry people. We do it every June, and we do it several times during the year. And if you'd like to sing along, please do that. But there's a message here, and watch the video too.
This next song, We Are Gentle, Angry People, was written by Holly Nero on November 27th, 1978, on our way to a vigil for Harvey Milk and Mayor George Moscone following their assassinations earlier that day. Harvey Milk, California's first openly gay elected official, had recently sponsored a civil rights bill in San Francisco that outlawed discrimination based on sexual orientation. The bill passed and was enthusiastically signed into law by Mayor George Moscone. Holly Near believes in making your voice heard and gave voice to the LGBTQIA movement. She also realized that for many, this song would be the first time that they would identify themselves as being gay or lesbian. Social movements often have strong, recognizable anthems, and for the past 43 years, this simple melody continues to ring true and threads together many different movements. In 2004, she performed the song in Washington, D.C. at the March for Women's Lives. Also, the song is now included in the Unitarian Universalist Association hymnal. As the first lesbian to be interviewed by People magazine, the owner of a successful independent record label in the 1970s and 80s, and a continued activist, Holly Near still embodies the words of the song and the quote by Harvey Milk that rights are won only by those who make their voices heard. So let the song inspire you to raise your voice, strengthen your heart, and lift your spirit to the struggles that are still with us today.
Thank you, and good morning, all. Good morning. In here, in person, and out in TV land. How are we all doing this morning? Great. We're doing great?
Yeah.
All right. Happy Pride. And as the song started out, Born This Way, yes, I was born this way. Born and raised in Massachusetts, and spent half my life there, and then I moved out to California and got to experience what Harvey Milk got to experience. And it was quite incredible, and I've never seen anything like that in the world, is to have a pride in San Francisco. Yes, I am a pastoral intern and will be ordained next year, which I'm very excited about. I am also a doctoral student and working towards getting pastoral counseling is what I'm doing. So I've got almost all the boxes checked. A few I'm missing, but And yes, I am from the LGBT Equality Alliance of Chester County. We have been around since 2015. It was started by a woman named Rachel, and they took it places and did amazing things, and they did a lot of things, like it said in the last song that we had up there, the GSAs, the Gay Students Alliance. And then the pandemic hit, and we know what that happened with a lot of things around the world, and we were still existed, but we were just quiet. And the middle of last year, towards the end, we wound up with a change of a lot of board members, and I got to be voted in and become the president, and so it is like a new beginning in 2022. Next Saturday, we'll be holding our first in-person Pride event since 2019, and we're very excited about it, and we've taken it, for those who have participated before, we have taken it out of Reese Park and put it on Bridge Street in downtown Phoenixville. So we're going to take over the town, which we can't wait. The other thing in that video was there was painting of the sidewalk. Right now, we have a few board members and probably about 24 volunteers painting crosswalks in downtown Phoenixville, rainbow colors. And we are the first ones in Chester County doing that. And we're very excited about that. I'd like to share what our mission is at the Alliance. The LGBT Equality Alliance of Chester County fosters inclusivity, well-being, and social justice for the LGBTQ plus community through advocacy and provisions of safe and supportive spaces. And since, like I said, we're kind of like a whole new board, about 80% of us, and we want to get back out there and be in the community. And being the president, I've been doing a lot of socializing or a lot of networking, whatever it may be. This past week, I got to go to a trans rally that was put together in Westchester, and it was put together by a sophomore from either Henderson or Ruston, and a freshman that used to go in Westchester school system who goes to school in New Orleans. And there was probably not a big group, but probably about 3 to 4 dozen people there, which was great on a Wednesday night because it was the first day of June. And the young person got up there and had it there. They invited speakers, and it was great. It was an hour and a half of sharing their story, being very vulnerable, as well as how well or how not well they were being affected by the school system and the adults in their lives. And as they say, you know, we're not harming anyone, just let us be kids. We're just kids. Let us be kids. It was very powerful, and it was awesome. Then on Thursday night, I got to go to People's Light, and I got to see somebody else who has made history in the world, Byron Ruston. People's Light is partnered up with us, and I put some of these flyers out in the lobby for you to use. It's playing until next Sunday. I highly recommend it. It is long, but they do give you an intermission. I highly recommend it. It's talking about when he was in prison, which would be in the 40s, and what he went through as an activist, as a Quaker, as a Black man, and as a queer man. And it was amazing. They sold out the show for today, so that just tells you how well it's doing. And so if you use the code that's on here, you actually save a decent amount of money. So I also brought, some wristbands and then magnets. And what I was reading off of is our little bookmark. So it's in your book. It also talks about, you know, our focuses and what we're going to do. I mean, my vision would be to be something like everything out in California, but we live in Pennsylvania, so it might not be quite that. But we can definitely start creating a bubble and pushing it out. So, but we focus on youth and family, which is awesome. And like I said, definitely the youth. because they're the ones that are the biggest impacted, as well as everybody else in the queer community. But the youth are the most impressionable, and they're the next generation that are going to take care of me. And I've got some of them in my house, so I want them to take good care of me. So we also go out and do things like this, talk about what we do, what we're doing, our vision, and how we're going to grow, social connections, and working within the community. Trying to think what else I didn't share. Oh, I did say Pride Fest is next week. It's between 12 and 5. It's on Bridge Street. So come out, be supportive, see what we're doing. We've got some good entertainment. We have somebody from one of those music shows, Alexis Cunningham. And then if you've been out or in the community, Fancy Fridays, Fancy will be there with some of her girls. And if anybody is up and hip on TikTok, Mr. Williams Pre-K, he's a comedian and talks about his experience of being a pre-K teacher. He's quite funny. And then we're just going to have a big old dance party to end it out with. So, yeah, we're back. We're out in the community. Our doors are open. We're 100% volunteer run at this point. I would love it in the next couple of years if we were actually able to be able to have an executive director or a CEO and one or two employees, but we're 100% volunteer run. So we do have our own store space in Phoenixville on Gay Street. We're trying to be better about being there and having and trying to set up more regular hours, but you know, email is always the best way to get in touch with us, and we can always set something up to meet. So if anybody ever had any questions or any information, please do check out our website. All that information is on the book card. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Don. And I invite everybody to go up and Chester Pride is a fun event. We've been there up until the pandemic hit. We were there every year. We had a table. We put our information out, and it's just all kinds of good things and fun. So I suggest you go. All right. We all know Bible verses often used to condemn homosexuality. Leviticus 8:22, Leviticus 20:13, Romans 1:26-28, and others. I wonder if you're aware of some of the other Bible verses, like Samuel 18:1-4. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as he loved his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of robe that he was wearing and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword and his bow and his belt. Ruth 1:14-17. Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus to me and more well, if even death parts us." And then there's Samuel 1:28. "I am distressed of you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you by me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." So I guess people pick and choose in the Bible. They pick and choose, okay? And the one thing about the Bible, there's a lot of stuff in there. Okay, moving right along. Our next speaker is the Reverend Dr. Reed Toulson, who holds degrees from the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis and Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. He served as pastor for 23 years in California and Wisconsin. After serving as the religious representative to various international organizations, he finally served as the executive director, CEO, for the American Baptist International Ministries headquarters in King of Prussia, from which he retired in 2016. So we have a new one and a retiring one today. He's a member of the board of directors of the Montgomery County Anti-Human Trafficking Coalition, MCATT, and the president of PFLAG in Royersford, Reverend Reed.
Thank you, Phil. And Don, thank you for your remarks. And it's so encouraging to hear where you are in the process toward ordination. That's something I really want to celebrate with you. As Phil has mentioned, I am the president of PFLAG Royersford. PFLAG as a movement next year will be 50 years old. It's the nation's oldest and largest organization, LGBTQIA organization, involved in support and education and advocacy. Its origins really are, I think, rather fascinating. In 1965, right in Philadelphia, on July 4th, the first of a series of remembrance marches were held, 1965. The marches were held to call attention to the public, to ask them to remember that members of the LGBTQIA community were not yet granted civil rights. That's the remembrance. So remember, this is a time in which there is no legal protection for this community. Schools could dismiss students who self-identified as part of the community. Hotels, businesses were not required in any way to provide services to members of the community. And certainly the idea of legal same-gender marriage was simply not part of the language at that time. So these marches began. They were held on the 4th of July, starting in 65. In 69, the Stonewall riots took place in Greenwich City, and so the following year, the decision was made to move that march from Philadelphia to New York City. 1970, it was held on Christopher Street, and it was called the Christopher Street Liberation Day March. Now, in New York City, there was a couple, Jean and Jules Manfort, who had a gay son. And Jean decided that she wanted to participate in that parade. And so she marched with her son, and she carried a sign in which she proclaimed, "I love my gay son." She wanted to provide that kind of personal support. What astounded her was the number of gay, lesbian individuals in the parade and surrounding who rushed up to her and basically said, "Oh, would you please be willing to talk to my parents? Would you be willing to talk to members of my own family?" And Jean realized that there really was a need for opportunities of support and growing understanding for families. So the following year, 1973, she and her husband and their son invited people to a meeting in the basement of a church in Greenwich City, a support group. And that was the beginning of what is now PFLAG today. The acronym originally stood for Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. About 10 years later, there was a decision to create a national organization. This is because within that decade, all sorts of other similarly allied support groups began popping up. So the organization became incorporated in California. Its first headquarters were in California and then moved to Denver. In 1980, the headquarters moved to Washington, D.C. By this time, PFLAG was producing educational printed materials that it was sharing with schools and other organizations to try to help to educate the larger population. A woman named Abigail Van Buren, remember her? The advice columnist, Dear Abby. In 1980, Dear Abby mentioned PFLAG in her advice column. And an astounding more than 7,000 letters poured into the PFLAG organization, people saying, oh, tell us more, help us, how can we start chapters here? And so this has just been a movement that has continued. It's been a movement, as I say, that has created opportunities where people can come together in confidential settings for mutual support, to share with one another, to bring resources that help to educate, and also increasingly to be engaged in public advocacy. So for instance, in 2005, PFLAG, the national organization, entered a friend of the court brief in the case that went before the US Supreme Court and eventually won the right for legalized marriage for same gender couples. PFLAG engaged in an educational campaign when Anita Bryant in the 1980s was doing gay bashing, and just a number of things of this sort. So how did there happen to come into existence a chapter in this area? Well, this goes back 5 years. The Royersford Baptist Church, of which my family and I are members, began an intentional process of spiritual discernment around the whole question of what do we really understand biblical teaching to be? What do we understand our own spiritual commitments to be? That process involved deep study of biblical texts, including the texts to which you referred, Phil. There basically are 6 texts, 3 in the Old Testament and 3 in the New Testament, that in the last 100 or so years have been used as what is called clobber passages to claim that persons who are LGBTQIA are abominations in the sight of God. So there was intense study of those very texts along with others. There was a committee that guided the whole congregation in this process, and amazingly, more than 75% of the members of the church were actively involved in this process. We brought in speakers. There was the intentional reading of literature, books of various perspectives. And at the end of 16 months, the congregation concluded that in fact, God was speaking to them through scripture, through one another, to be extending ministry to and with all people without exception in terms of sexual orientation or gender identity or presentation. In the course of that 16-month process of discernment, several of us learned about PFLAG, and we increasingly began to think that is the kind of service or opportunity that would be very valuable here in our area. We became aware that there was a PFLAG chapter in Harleysville and one in Westchester. We didn't want to do anything that would weaken or take away people from involvement in those, so we spent time visiting with both of those chapters to experience how the chapters functioned and to ask for their advice. And the leadership of both of those chapters said, there's nothing in your area. We would really encourage you to put out the word and see if there's interest in doing such a thing. So we did that. We began experimenting. The Royersford Baptist Church served as the host site. We began holding meetings every third Tuesday of the month. And just 2 years ago, after a thoughtful and legalized process, PFLAG Royers Ford became an official chartered chapter of the PFLAG organization. That means that it is one of the more than 400 PFLAG chapters across the United States that exist in every one of the states, plus the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico. We continue to meet on the third Tuesdays of every month. Now, with the pandemic, we have been meeting virtually, but as the numbers go down, we again have opportunities to meet in person. The sessions are from 7 to 8:30. We maintain confidentiality. It's an opportunity for people to be supportive of one another. We seek to engage in advocacy, and particularly we seek to grow in our understanding and education. So that brings me back to the texts. PFLAG is not a religious organization. It's not affiliated with any church or business or a governmental site where it may hold its meetings. But many people who are involved are people of faith or people who are developing their own spirituality and want to understand how does my reality or how do my relationships relate to what I am hearing the Bible says. And so when that is something that is desired within the group, we have the opportunity to dig into texts like this, to show the problematic history of translation of some of the texts. Just as one example, Phil mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul has a sin list. And in that list of nine words, there are two Greek words that are very curious. One is called malakoi, and the other is arsenikotai. Malakoi is simply the word meaning soft. It's the word that Jesus used, or translated into Greek, when he talked about kings wearing soft clothing. Soft. Arsenikotai is a strange word. It appears nowhere else in Greek literature prior to Paul's using it, which makes many people think that Paul coined the term, which is quite possible. It is a compound word. Arsen and kotai, male and bed. What did he mean? Some translators have thought, well, we think he means men who have sex with men. Now, there's always a problem when you're trying to gain an understanding of something, but you have no context for it. You don't see any other examples where it's been used before. One has to be very cautious when you have a compound word to think that the meaning of the first word and the meaning of the second word coming together therefore obviously mean the third concept. For instance, another compound word, butterfly. Does that literally mean a pound of butter flying through the air? Or the compound word understand. Does that literally mean standing under something? So there's a complicated history of Paul's use of that word. We do discover the word used in Greek literature a little bit after Paul's usage. And in those contexts, it seems much more clearly to be referring to what today we would understand to be human trafficking. People being purchased or kidnapped or forced into a condition where they are used and abused sexually by others for a profit motive of a third party. So these are opportunities to dig into some problematic things and seek to gain understanding, but also to find in Scripture texts which may help persons in their own relationship, such as the discovery of the relationship between David and Jonathan, two men who are described as having their souls knit to one another, who establish a covenant relationship with one another. And when Jonathan dies, David says, he weeps and bemoans Jonathan's death and says, your love to me was greater than the love of women. Or the text of Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, with a text which quite often may be used in marriage ceremonies today. But what many people have not noticed before is that the text said that Ruth clung to Naomi. The Hebrew word there for cling is the very same word that's used in Genesis in the text that says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Ruth and Naomi established a covenanted relationship with one another, a clinging one flesh relationship with one another, a relationship that was not just till death do us part, but a relationship in which Naomi says, even death, even beyond death, I will remain covenanted in relationship with you. There are resources and depths of understanding that are possible. So all of this is to say that there are ways in which we, none of us are experts in any of this, but together we can grow in our understanding, and most especially we can grow in supportive relationships with one another and helping to affirm and enable people to live their lives to their fullest. Thank you so much for enabling me to share this with you.
Okay, thank you to both of our speakers, Dawn Pratt and Reverend Dr. Reed Trulson, for expanding our knowledge of both of your organizations and your messages. We have come to that time of our service, which we refer to as Matters of the Heart, and this is a time when you can share a joy that is lifting you up or a sorrow that is weighing you down with our community as a whole. We're going to have a brief meditation here for a couple of minutes, and then I will come back and give you some instructions. We are still in our hybrid mode, so we'll have both options for people who are here in the sanctuary to share, as well as those who are joining us on Zoom in just a few minutes. So give me a second here and I will get the meditation going, and then we'll start in with Matters of the Heart in just a few minutes.
Thank you.
in a road such as this, that fly to meet us bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear, and with their curious insistence whisper our name, beloved, beloved, beloved. Extinguish this chalice, but not its light, of Pride Month, which I hope all of you will take to the community, and let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'm going to let the peace lamp burn. In this world, I think we need it. All right, our closing song today, Standing on the Side of Love, written by Jason Sheldon, sung by the Unitarian Universalist Church of Berkeley. Please sing along.